It's here.
Still on his feet. Left side touchdown.
The wait is over.
Throws it up in traffic and it's intercepted.
High school football begins now. ...97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, and Merritt Store and Grill present the High School Football Game of the Week. All season, join Anthony Wellman, Jeff Hamlin, Paul Connell, and Walter Storholt for twice the games on 97.9 FM and streaming live on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Got a man, right sideline, 20, 10, 5... Touchdown!
WCHL Championship Sports High School Game of the Week is presented by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill. And in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance.
Go on his feet, left side, touchdown!
Get ready for all the action, all the excitement, and exclusive coverage you can't find anywhere else. High school football kicks off now. Here's your host, Paul Connell.
And welcome on a beautiful Carolina Blue evening here in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, along with Matt Oaks, Paul Connell for the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. And tonight we come to you from Chapel Hill High School, the home of the Tigers, in a 3A battle in the newly minted Carolina 3A Big 8 Conference. And Matt Oaks, glad to have you alongside. And I am truly hoping that this contest is a little more evenly balanced than the last two that we have had as our Game of the Week. Both, unfortunately, featuring Cedar Ridge, which just could not get on track and put together 48 minutes of football, falling by many, many points to both Northwood and Orange. Now, that in and of itself, that's a shame, but that in and of itself is not an anomaly. These last two teams, Northwood and Orange, outstanding competitors, outstanding offenses, good defensive balance. They have a lot of athletes. They have some experience. They have some folks coming back. And, you know, so Cedar Ridge, again, trying to establish themselves, but we are not here for Cedar Ridge tonight. We are here for the Chapel Hill Tigers. Chapel Hill Tigers hosting the Orange Panthers. Panthers coming in undefeated in the conference, only one of two teams that are undefeated in the conference. And these Chapel Hill Tigers, perhaps the best under 500 team
yes,
in the
Paul.
State.
Yes, Paul. Chapel Hill has won three of their last four, and last week they had a 28-24 win over Northern Vance. You know, it's amazing the coaching job that Coach Isaac Marsh is doing with his boys this season, because they really have been hurt and by injuries, and, you know, we'll get into that a little bit later, but, you know, they've really filled the shoes of some big guys out there that they're missing, and one of those is their running back. And they may miss him tonight, Darius Allen, but I think we may be in for something special tonight. What do you think here, Paul?
Well, we're going to have to be in for something special. it's going to have to be awfully special in order for these Chapel Hill Tigers to make a run at this. Mm-hmm. Initially when you set up your schedule, you look at this game, and based on history, based on the rivalry, based on the amount of talent on the field, you think, wow, well, this is going to be the place to be. And it still could and should be. However, as you alluded to before, these Chapel Hill Tigers have been decimated by injuries, and it starts at the running back position, where they were really touting to be very strong this year, and it was going to be the running game was going to be shouldered by Darius Allen. We did not have Darius for the first four games of the season. We finally got a chance to get him back and see him in action against East Chapel Hill. He ran all over the Wildcats. He was just simply outstanding. You heard that on our WCHL Game of the Week, that crosstown rivalry. And then last week, injuries plagued this team. Darius Allen goes down. Jeremy Peck, who's their other running back, is down. Lonnie Baldwin goes down. There's three of their top three running backs right there. They have moved four players up from JV over the past 3 days just to fill holes in this offensive line. Where does it come down to? It comes down to Grant DeSelm. Well, Grant DeSelm, who comes in as a 6'2", 177-pound senior, sat the bench last year and, did punting, had quarterback backup duties, and he has found himself at the helm for this season. The first four games of the year, it was all Grant Desselm, handing off to, again, running back by committee, making the best of plays when he could, really learning on the job, and did an exceptional job, just an exceptional job with this team. You know, as we said before, you know, this team very well, you know, may be one of the best under 500 teams. In fact, we know they're one of the best under 500 teams in the state of North Carolina, especially in 3A. Chapel Hill comes in at 2-1 of the conference, 3-4 overall. Riding a one-game winning streak, as Chapel Hill defeating Northern Vance last week, 28-24, while, again, Orange rolled over Cedar Ridge 59-7. But that Northern Vance game, 28-24, it really wasn't that close. It was 28-3 up until 4 minutes left in that game, and then injuries and substitutions and lack of depth came to bite the Tigers, and it was Northern Vance almost pulling it out. They scored three touchdowns in the space of 3 minutes and 22 seconds and nearly upended the Tigers, and really would have put an end to their season and any chance of postseason hopes.
Yeah, I talked to Coach Marsh earlier this week, and he said, wow, you know, that could have been a disaster, and it nearly was. And he said, you know, just the little mistakes started piling up. They took the gas off the accelerator. They can certainly not ill afford to do that tonight against the powerhouse Orange squad. And Chapel Hill will be hungry. That's one thing they have going for them. They've lost five straight seasons, and they've been heavy favorites in some of those contests and have gone down five straight to the Panthers over there. So plenty of motivation.
Well, they tend to play the Panthers at the end of the year, and it's been unfortunate, but it's been a hallmark of the Isaac Marsh teams that, you know, they start out a little shaky, they get stronger in the middle of the year, and then sometimes they fade. And Orange's pattern has been they start out strong. They have a little blip in the middle of the year. Maybe they get a little complacent. But come the end of the season, they're peaking. They're running on all cylinders, and they're hitting hard. And they really roll toward the end of the year. And you're looking at a team here in Orange that let's remember, both these teams made the postseason last year, but the last game of the regular season last year was Orange against Chapel Hill. And it was Orange, taking a win, 41-26, and it really wasn't that close. You know, Orange had just come off a 7-point loss to Cardinal Gibbons, where they gave it up in overtime. They were really on a roll. This is a team that lost in the semifinals, the penultimate game of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association 3A playoffs last year. They were ranked in the top 50 in the state. They lost 42-7 to Havelock. Now you think, oh, geez, well, you lost 42-7 in the semifinals of the state game. Ah, that's a shame. No. Let me set the tone for you here, because Havelock in the state playoff bracket outscored its opponents, of which there were four, outscored them 249-35. So, you know, this is a team that really comes back this year with something to prove. Now on the other side of that coin is Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill kind of limped into the postseason, you hate to say. You know, they did. They had wins over Northern Vance, Webb, and Southern Vance, but had been crushed, 4 weeks from the end of the season by Cardinal Gibbons. Didn't even show up to play in that one. And then they get beat by Orange again, 41-26. They go in, and like I said, they limp into the playoffs. And in the second round, they meet Northern Guilford. Northern Guilford, 15-0 last year, 5-0. You know, they gave up 36 points in the first half, and it was over. Now, Northern Guilford goes on. They clean sweep in the 3AA playoffs, and they outscore their foes 260-40.
Jeez.
So, you know, these are two teams that come into this season seemingly with a lot to prove, and the disappointing factor has been for Chapel Hill has been the lack of consistency on offense. Then not consistency in a performance sense, but consistency in a reliability sense, a health sense, a depth sense. Grant Desselm came in thinking, you know, I'm going to have a few games to kind of mature and develop into this leadership and quarterback position. He finds himself without his main running back in the first game. They lose in overtime, and then more challenges occurred after that. As, of course, Chapel Hill, once again, they lose 17-14 in OT in their first one. Then they go to South Granville, and they flat-out got beat. It's 37-13. Then a game that we actually saw here that they lost 29-28 because they fumbled the snap on an extra point. You know, then to East Chapel Hill, where they get their first win at 26-7. And then they eke by Webb at 38-31. They go to Southern, when everybody goes to Southern and gets, you know, they get a wake-up call. And there was certainly a wake-up call there at 59-20, but they were able to put 20 points up on Southern. And then last week, of course, the four-point win against Northern Vance, and now you face Orange. So that is the story of the Chapel Hill Tigers. And you know, you're looking at the lineup tonight. You're wondering, well, you know, who's gonna make it happen tonight? And it's gonna be Grant DeSelm and you know a cast of favorites, you hope. But Grant DeSelm, they're trying to figure out you know who exactly is gonna be in the backfield with him. You may see Emmett Thorpe. You may or may not see Brandon Wendell. You know, there's plenty of injuries. They've brought up some kids from JV, and we're going to talk about them when we come back. But this team, you think, well, now they got to go to the air. Okay, well, Grant DeSelm, he can throw it. You know, he's got a heck of an arm, and he can throw it. Noah Layden, his favorite target, 6'5", 200 pounds. Noah Layden he's got Eric Ebron speed for high school. He can get down the field. He can find the open area. He's just tough as nails. He's out. So now it's Aaron Hirsch and Andrew Gillespie. He has a broken arm. So you know, you're just wondering, you know, are they just going to snap the ball to Grant and he's going to run the Wildcat tonight? We're just really not sure, but we're going to find out in about 18 minutes. We're going to take a two-minute break, and we're going to come back and talk about these Orange Panthers. You'll listen to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week alongside Matt Oakes, Paul Connell. Happy to be here and ready to bring it to you. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Come join us.
There's nothing better than the refreshing taste of a Cruiser's ice-cold fountain drink. I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. At Cruiser's, we use 100% filtered water for the highest quality fountain drinks and serve them at an ice-cold 34 degrees for only 79 cents. So grab your favorite drink with their chewy ice and add a flavor shot like cherry or lemon lime at most Cruiser's locations. You'll taste the difference. We guarantee it.
Cruiser's. Good to go.
Because Susan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her retirement account wants to bake her a chocolate cake. But it can't. It's a retirement account. It doesn't have the upper body strength to lift a cake pan into an oven. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the savings, you'll know your retirement account wants to bake you a chocolate cake. But remember, it can't. It's a retirement account. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Having a nice lawn is not impossible.
Our mission at Landscape Logic is to help you discover the possibilities for your landscape. We'll evaluate your landscape, prioritize your needs so that you can make a decision based on practicality or economics. We are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to create a finished and kept look for your landscape.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to visit LandscapeLogicNC.com. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast. AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Back to Chapel Hill High School for the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Presented by Mark Fertali, Nationwide Insurance, and Hillsborough AI Nationwide Insurance. Thank you, Mark. And last week at Hillsborough, a winless Cedar Ridge team scored first on number 8 ranked Panthers as after they turned the ball over on their first play from scrimmage. It was Tay Jones running left, dropped it on the turf. Garrett Clower then had to lead Orange to 59 unanswered points against the Red Wolves. But here's the key, Matt. He only passed the ball 8 times. 59 points, 8 passes. He's 7 for 8, 126 yards, 4 touchdowns. That, my friend, is efficient.
I'd say so. You know, Coach Moser always says, you know, he's just a general out there. He just manages the game. But that's all that they need to do. I mean, they've got physical guys that ground and pound, run Tay Jones all night long, and see if Chapel Hill and whoever they play can match up. And so far, no one's proven they can.
Well, Tay Jones, he had the rather pedestrian day. 7 carries, a touchdown, 125 yards, and a fumble. Yeah, he that fumble happened early. He got that out of the way quick, but You know, the what was so impressive was the expectation of this Orange team. Because I will tell you, having done the game, Cedar Ridge came out for the first 7 minutes of that game. They played like they were going to win it. They came out to win it. They came out. They played hard. They hit hard. They were able to stop. They were able to stop Orange. They were able to. They were able to put together an offensive drive where they moved the ball at will on ground and in the air. They mixed it up well, and this Orange team was on its heels. And it was simply a deep breath, and the first right thing that went their way, that was all the momentum they would need. It was almost like, oh, yep, now when you remember what it feels like, well, let's just go on and get this and go on and get this done. And that's you know, that's the way experienced teams play. They play with an expectation to win, and they have that expectation. When things go wrong, they say, well, that's an anomaly. Let's not, you know, let's not get bogged down in that. Let's go back to doing what we know how to do, because we know that we have the weapons to overcome almost any deficit. I mean, they've, you know, they've certainly been able to do that. But again, Garrett Clower, he's been an exceptional game manager. You know, we were able to see that in his first serious challenge against Northwood, where he did not fall into the fall victim to the pitfall of his opposite number, Ty Penix, at Northwood. He was not rattled. He was not rankled. He simply managed the game. And, you know, when he had to hit his receiver short, he hit him short. When he had to throw it away, he threw it away. You know, and he definitely won the turnover game. He does not make that many mistakes. They do not ask him to do a lot, but what they ask him to do, he does very well.
Yeah, he does. And tonight it will be interesting to see if Chapel Hill can hang with them early like Cedar Ridge did and build some confidence, because it just seems like the snowball effect hits and Orange just runs for it and they're flying across the field. And you know, let's talk a little bit about that defense. They've given up a total of 50 points this season, 50 points all their games. It's unbelievable stuff, really.
It really is. It's really an exceptional team. And you know, it was interesting. We were trading comments and communication today with the coaching staff at Orange, and managed to connect a little bit with Van Smith, who he was sending over some statistics, and he said, "Well, he said, look, I'm just a lowly defensive coordinator." He said, Coach Moser, you know, you really got to get the full story from him." And I said, "Lowly defensive coordinator?" I said, "I do not know, you know, who you're kidding." But you know, this team, if you talk about defense, this is a team where you know, you really got to tip your hat to them. This is a team here at Orange that look, they've put 156 points on the board. They've only given up 28 points, and one of those touchdowns was you know, on the short field against Cedar Ridge, where you know, Peyton Pappas and those Red Wolves, they had to go 36 yards. So in essence, 21 points. And that's in conference. Overall, they put over 300 points on the board and have only given up 50. And they are on a win streak of 7. So you know, when you look at this team, it really is rather impressive. And you know, you wonder where they're going to go from here. But wherever they go, it will rest, as you just alluded, on the strength of this defense. Last week, again, they came up on top of the turnover battle. You know, a fumble, 4 interceptions, 3 of them by J.D. Brasher.
Yeah, and the crush, as me and Matt Paul have dubbed them on the grid, man, they've pitched 3 shutouts this year. J.D. Brooks has spearheaded a lot of that. I don't know exactly how many interceptions he's grabbed this year, but you really don't want to be throwing his way on the field. So, wow, it's going to be an intense game tonight. People are starting to fill in here in Chapel Hill, and it'll be exciting.
Well, they just can hurt you so many ways. And I want to keep talking about this defense. You mentioned J.D. Brooks. He has 4 interceptions. But even more important than that, you talk about the intangibles, man. He's the old Billy Bates, the guy who's played for the Cowboys, just all over the place. He's returned 3 punts for touchdowns. J.D. Brooks, on the scouting report, when you look at the film, the first thing you go is, that guy right there, don't kick to him. You know, if you kick it to the corners, kick it to the up man, kick a pooch, kick it to, don't kick it to him. Because if he gets under a full head of steam and he shifts into second gear, you're done. You know, you're going to be looking at his numbers. A.J. Brasher, as we said before, he's the fourth leading tackler on the team. A.J. Brasher, he has one fumble recovery, but had 3 interceptions last week. So he really padded his statistics. You know, the linebacking core really pretty impressive. You look at a guy like Nick Schultz, who I dubbed him last week the soda machine. He just he looks, if you put a number on a soda machine, that's what Nick Schultz would look like. He's just a big kid with, he's got girth. But 63 tackles for Nick Schultz. He's got 4 sacks. He's caused 2 fumbles. And he's blocked 2 punts. You know, the guy just gets all over and does it. You know, and you go, you go to the linebacking core. You know, Nick Schultz plays on the line. You go to the linebacking core, and you got Drew LeMaster and Brandon VanHook. And those guys have 84 tackles between them. 84 tackles between them in 7 games. They have only two sacks between them. They both caused a fumble. You know, these guys, you can obviously see that they're competing. And then you go into the defensive backfield, and you got Joe Piscitelli, who we're not sure if Piscitelli will play tonight. He had an injured arm. He was out against the Red Wolves, and Colin Pope with 24 tackles, Piscitelli with 13, and you go back to J.D. Brooks once again with 25 tackles. This is a team that can hurt you, and we haven't even talked about Bryce Wilson, who with 40 tackles, a sack, 2 interceptions, and 2 blocked punts. So it's really a pretty impressive defensive unit. So it's going to be an interesting contest. And you sit here and you look at this thing on paper, and you go, well, how in the world is Chapel Hill going to hang in there with them? And the simple answer is, well, they don't play the games on paper. They play them right here in the field in front of us, and we're looking forward to seeing how that works. We're going to come back with the starting lineups, a little more analysis. If you are listening at chapelboro.com, don't forget the Merritt's Double, as our good friend Jeff Hamlin is in Southern Durham, where the Northwood Chargers looking to dethrone Southern Durham and take over second place all by themselves in anticipation of their meeting with they hope Orange in the state playoffs. We'll be back. 2 minutes. WCHL's High School Football Game of the Week continues.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our 3 convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank. You deserve banking like this.
For great food and infinite sports on game day or night, the new Tobacco Road Sports Cafe is your next stop. Locally owned and operated, Tobacco Road features fresh, local ingredients, down-home classics, and gourmet entrees, plus a wide selection of North Carolina beers on tap. Exceptional service is also on every menu, from your servers to the chef preparing your order. In Infinite Sports, we have every available sports package on TVs throughout the restaurant for your viewing comfort. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe. Now open in Chapel Hill's East 54 Shopping Center.
UNC Family Medicine is proud to announce the grand opening of a new Saturday morning sports injury clinic to treat your acute injuries. UNC Family Medicine will treat everything from casting to ultrasounds to x-rays, as well as provide surgical consults and concussion evaluations. And you can walk in without an appointment from 8 to 10 a.m. The Saturday morning sports clinic at UNC Family Medicine. Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Most of us don't get to work at home in our PJs. If traffic and a commute are part of your daily routine, let us make that part of your day a little more enjoyable. Stop by Cruisers and enjoy a fresh brewed coffee and fresh baked biscuit in the morning, or a refreshing fountain drink with chewy ice, a hot dog, or a snack to end your day. Cruisers has 4 commuter-friendly area locations at Chapel Hill North, Glen Lennox, Powell Place, and Briar Chapel.
Cruisers, good to go.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Red Bull Asian Bistro. It's half off. $30 worth of food and drink available now for $15. Red Bull is a traditional Asian bistro located inside University Mall in Chapel Hill, and it's a local favorite for Chinese, sushi, Thai, Vietnamese, and hibachi, and all their great drinks. It's half off from Red Bull Asian Bistro, and it's available for a limited time. So buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Having a nice lawn is not impossible.
Our mission at Landscape Logic is to help you discover the possibilities for your landscape. We'll evaluate your landscape, prioritize your needs so that you can make a decision based on practicality or economics. We are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to create a finished and kept look for your landscape.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to visit LandscapeLogicNC.com. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
This is High School Football on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Band wraps up to the national anthem and heads in to Hold That Tiger. You know where we are. Welcome to Chapel Hill. Another kind of cat on the way in here. The Orange Panthers coming in at 7-0. Growling, rolling, running, rumbling. And I'll tell you what, it's quite a team. We're looking to see how this Chapel Hill squad is able to combat, you know, an exceptional offensive power and, you know, defensive stalwarts, you know, that they are. Once again, the Orange Panthers coming in at 7-0. And we're going to find out what Chapel Hill is made of here, you know, in just about 3 minutes. Brandon Nickerson, Grant DeSelm, Jacob Guskowitz. They are the captains for the Chapel Hill Tigers tonight. Looking back across the field, Garrett Clower is one of the captains for the Orange Panthers. He will, of course, be joined by Patrick Pettiford. And also there to represent will be Drew LeMaster. And they got a couple other folks there that we'll bring us to see. We see J.D. Brooks over there as well as they head off for the coin flip. So 2 minutes till the initiation of hostilities, Matt Oaks. And, you know, you look back at this Chapel Hill team and you think, okay, you know, guys, it's, you know, it's time to show what you're made of. You look at Orange and you think, well, guys, can you keep this this rally going? And it rests, I think, on the first two possessions for each team. Rests on the initial field position, rests on the toughness of the defense, and you know, who has to change their game plan first?
For sure, and it's a matter of keys for Orange or wreaking havoc, I think. Like, keep turning the ball over, which they've been doing all season. Running Tay Jones, grounding and pounding. Chapel Hill, fast start, need to build that confidence up, keep the fans involved here, the belief, build it. Fundamental football, that's what Coach Isaac Marks was talking about all week. Keep the runners in front and hold on to the football, Paul.
Well, and on the other sideline, there's another experienced coach over there in Pat Moser. And of course, Pat Moser coming back after a retirement, being brought back into the fold for the Orange Panthers and leading them to an 11-win season last year that saw them come one game shy of the 3A state championship. And, you know, they certainly peaked at the right time, very nearly handed Cardinal Gibbons their first loss in conference play when it was the North Carolina Conference of 11, and, you know, fell short in overtime. But they were peaking at the right time, and they have carried it right into this. The Chapel Hill Tigers was homecoming last week, and almost a sad homecoming, as the Chapel Hill Tigers running out to a 28-3 lead and then suffering some injuries and having to put some other players into the program. And in the last 3 minutes of the game, they gave up three touchdowns and had to hold on to get the 28-24 win. Isaac Marsh is hoping to put together 48 minutes of football tonight and hoping to jump out on top right away. This Chapel Hill team, it's not a team that plays well from behind. If they can get ahead, if they can sit on the ball, if they can, you know, gobble up some yardage, if they can gobble up the clock, they will have a chance. They do have an incredible amount of experience and size on the front line. You know, if you look at the front line, you know, players like George McBurney, Amir Jackson, Hudson Price, Brian Jones, Logan Tisch, Joey Raines. Now, these guys are all, you know, 250-plus. You get to the middle arm, Brian Jones and Logan Tisch, it's 290 and 300. Mm. Joey Raines at 215, the 6'6". And they have some size and a lot of seniors and juniors. So this is a team that really that understands how to play. Getting ready to kick off now as the Chapel Tigers will get the ball first. And, again, it will be interesting to see how they play this. The Jordan Alexander, junior fullback and linebacker, back at his own two-yard line to receive. The up men to his wing, Aaron Hirsch and Emmett Thorpe. Ready to kick it up for Orange. That'll be Brad Barbie. Barbie had an outstanding game last week as well. Hand is up, hand is down. Ready for the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Taken by the up man at the 20-yard line, 25, 30. Met by a host of Orange tacklers. And down goes Emmett Thorpe.
That was quite a sack there.
Actually, they're going to call that... that'll be Austin Turner. And Turner, again, coming up from his wide receiver positions, now going to play special teams. He takes that one, caught it at the 15, brings it up to the 32-yard line where Grant DeSelm will come out for his first play from scrimmage. DeSelm now under center, out of the eye, handoff goes, first man through. First man through, gain of about four, and that will be Brandon Wendell. So Brandon Wendell getting the start at fullback and 5'10", 180 pounds. He's been the starting fullback at a number of times. The position that's in doubt, of course, is tailback. As Darius Allen injured and out for the foreseeable future, it will be tailback by committee. DeSelm now in the pistol. Man in motion, Austin Turner. One to his left, handoff goes. Only man in the backfield, breaking left, breaking over midfield to the 45, down to the 43-yard line, and the run by Jordan Alexander. So Alexander, they say, you're the man with the speed, you're the man who can hold on to the ball, you're going to return kicks, and you know what, you're going to be all alone in the backfield. Outstanding run by Jordan Alexander. Goes from the 32-yard line, rather. From the 35-yard line, rather, to the 43 of Orange. To DeSelm in business. Back to the eye he goes. Handoff goes. First man through. Brandon Wendell. Brandon Wendell. Another carry of 8 yards. So Wendell, with two carries now, of 8 and 3 yards, he's got two for 11 yards, and that brings up second and short, which is just what Isaac Marsh wants. They want to see a lot of second and short from this team early. They'd like to free up DeSelm. They'd like to give him the opportunity to be creative. He's a agile guy. Handoff goes, second man for the first down at the 30. And back and forth, there's Jordan Alexander. So Jordan Alexander, his maiden voyage of the game, goes for about 27 yards, and then he picks up three there to make it an even 30. And it's a first down for Chapel Hill. 10 minutes remaining to play here in the first quarter. Listen to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. We're at Chapel Hill High School, where the Orange Panthers come in at 7-0. Here comes the blitz. DeSelm rolling to his left, under pressure. Drew LeMaster there to get him and chase him out of bounds at the 30-yard line. DeSelm keeps that one himself, and that's a senior there, Matt. Just tuck it under and say, I don't need to throw this away because we're on a roll. He'll pick up no yardage. He'll go right out of bounds at the line of scrimmage, and it will be second down and 10 from the Orange 30.
Yeah, Drew LeMaster broke through the line there, and smart play to run out of bounds. That could have been some trouble.
DeSelm back into the shotgun all by himself. Two wide right. One in the slot is Austin Turner. Receiver to the left. Take the handoff, the man in motion, throws across the middle, and misreads that one. That one was intended for Brandon Wendell. And Wendell got hung up right in the middle of the field. And he was delayed, let's say. And, you know, we want to point that out because one of the most egregious pass interference plays that I've seen in a number of years was committed by Bryce Wilson. Now, he's a linebacker for Orange. He was called for two pass interference penalties last week against the Red Wolves, and they were egregious. Just reached out and grabbed the jersey, and it looked like that might have happened right there.
It could have.
Against Wendell. Brings up third down now, third and 10 at the 30. DeSelm with a rocket shot, right flat for 15 yards. It's incomplete, and it will be fourth down at the 30-yard line. He looked like he was thinking about Wendell, but really had his sights set on Aaron Hirsch out there. Hirsch, a 5'11", 155-pound junior. Just couldn't catch up to that one. It'll be fourth down and 10 from the 30-yard line. Now, you got to remember, Grant DeSalle, also the punter for these Chapel Hill Tigers. And you know what? At the 30-yard line, you're going to kick it 15 yards. Why? Grant DeSalle is going to line up. He's got the choice to either do a quick kick or pass on fourth. Brandon Wendell in the backfield. Whistle before the snap. Flag is on the play. And with 9:46, we'll take a quick pause here while the referees sort this out. But it'll be fourth down and something. Next, it looks as though that
it's going
to be a legal procedure. False start against Chapel Hill. It'll back them up five more, give them a little time. 9:46 remaining to play here in the first quarter. Paul Cullen along with Matt Oaks. Listen to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. We are scoreless at Chapel Hill. We're the 7-0. Orange Panthers come into town. Grant DeSalle, hoping that the Tigers can draw first blood. Back on his 35 now. It'll be fourth and 15. Two steps out of the shotgun. Throws over the middle. Has a man. Austin Turner tipped up in the air. He threw it in double coverage, and it's knocked to the ground at the 10-yard line. And Orange will take over on downs. And DeSalle, that one looked like it really slipped out of his hand. It ended up being a jump ball, and I do not think he wanted to put Austin Turner in a jump ball situation there at 5'11", not against this defense. Austin Turner seemed like he had a little ground rolling up the middle, and he just underthrew him.
Yeah, Orange had him right where they wanted them in that third and long situation there.
So DeSalle, over his first two passing attempts, and has run once for no yards. Drive stalls at the 35-yard line. Here comes Clower. Clower to Tay Jones. Pitch left. Oh, he's got running room to the 45. Now the 50. Crosses over midfield and down to the 45-yard line of the Tigers. And a big run there by Tay Jones of 20 yards. And that was the exact same play they started out the game with against the Red Wolves. And about 15 yards into it, put the ball on the ground there. He was untouched until he got 15 yards past the line of scrimmage on that one. So a 20-yard carry on first down by Tay Jones brings up first and 10 from inside Tiger territory at the 45. Here's Clower. Orange lines up in that double slot. Single setback. Handoff, counter, right side. Patrick Pettiford. Pettiford will go for 11 yards down to the 34-yard line, just off tackle, right side, and picks up 11 for another first down for the Panthers.
Looked like Connor Corfus kind of backed off of that play, didn't really engage on that tackle.
So two carries now from the backfield of the Panthers for 20 and 11 yards. You wonder why these guys, they put 53 points up on the board 2 weeks ago, only had the ball for 16 minutes in the game. Once again, out of the double slot. Here's Clower, long count, three-step drop, slant, incomplete, intended for his favorite target, which is Kai Muller. Muller had a number of catches last week, had, of course, the first touchdown against Northwood, the back of the end zone, a 15-yarder. At 6'2", 190 pounds, the senior is a threat at any portion of the field. He can go up and get it, and Clower really likes to look for him first. So it'll bring up second down and 10 from the Tigers' 35. Rain's digging in the middle for the Tigers' defense. In motion, Pettiford takes the pitch to the right side. Across the 35, looking for room at the 30. Jumps over a tackler at the 30 to the 28-yard line. He will roll down to the 27-yard line. It'll be a gain of 7 and bring up 3rd down and 3.
Corpus and Fisher were in on that play, and he just kind of leaped over top of the defenders there.
So a gain of 7 by Patrick Pettiford. They love to run that pitch. See, they run the double slot. Running backs facing each other on the left and right side of the line. And there's going to be an illegal procedure call here on Tay Jones, so it'll be, in essence, a free play for the Tigers. See if they can strip the ball. The man running up the middle. Looked like Clower went straight ahead. But it's not going to do anything as they get close to the first down. But you got to think that Isaac Marsh is going to back this team up, especially when they've had 3 carries have gone for 38 yards. He's going to back them up 5 and make them go 3rd and 8 rather than 4th and inches.
Yeah, especially with as physical as Orange backs are, I don't think they have too much confidence in being able to stop them in 4th and inches.
And indeed, talking this one over, we're going to have an official timeout on the field as Orange breaks the huddle, and see if the officials will give them a shot at this or if they're going to measure. I don't understand why they would even have to measure here if they're going to take the penalty.
That's a little strange. I'm not sure.
So if you just joined us, this is the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. 7.5 minutes remaining in the first quarter. Paul Conlon along with Matt Oaks. The score is 0-0 here at Chapel Hill High School. The undefeated Orange Panthers coming in at 7-0 to meet the Chapel Hill Tigers. Referee taking a measurement here. But again, it doesn't make a lot of sense because
now he's backing him up.
But they're marking it off now from the line of scrimmage, and I don't know if I guess the idea is that they have to give Isaac Marsh the option. If he didn't get it, he has to know that it's 4th and inches, and does he want to gamble? If he does have the first down, then it's a no-brainer. But, again, they back him up, so it will be 5 yards from the spot of the foul. And you know what? It looks like they actually gave him a 7-yard penalty. So instead of 3rd and 8, now it's 3rd and 10.
Okay.
And line up in the single slot. That's Pettiford to the left. Bolden in the backfield. Take the pass out left side. Screen pass intended for Tay Jones. He takes 3 steps back, and unfortunately for the Panthers, Clower throws it 2 steps in front. Incomplete. Ball drops dead. And it will be 4th down and 10 for this Orange Panthers team. And, you know, I have to tell you that the ball on the 35-yard line with how potent this offense is, I'm not punting. And Pat Moser says, I'm not punting either. No reason to do that. 7:22 remaining to play here in the first quarter. Ball's on the 35-yard line of the Tigers. Orange facing 4th and 10 confidently. Michael Bolden, the big man in the backfield. Double slot, wide receivers to the left and the right. Straight drop, play action, rolling to his left. Here's Clower. Got a man at the 20-yard line, threw in his ankles. It's Tay Jones and the ball to the turf, and the Tigers take over on downs. 7:15 remaining to play here in the first quarter, and Clower has not been particularly sharp.
No, he hasn't, and that was a big momentum booster for the Chapel Hill defense to gain some confidence, being able to stop them there on fourth down. Pretty good the Panthers are on 4th down conversions, and that's something they can build on. Now this is a pretty crucial drive coming up here.
Well, absolutely now. Here come the Tigers. Their first drive. They had runs of 20 and 11 yards. Runs of 27 and 3 from their tailback. And that's McDowell. Again, I wanted to point out that there are a number of players here. That have been brought up from JV and were just announced for the thing. So,
there's a lot of moving parts tonight. We just actually got a slip of paper from the guys up here with some updates. With new guys coming up, they're filling holes quickly.
So we want to apologize. We had to take a little break there and figure that out, because it's Ricky McDowell is number 25. It is not Jordan Alexander, and we weren't given that change before the game. So it is Ricky McDowell, who has been exceptional thus far for the Tigers. Runs of 27, 3, and now 2 yards. And he'll give it to him again. McDowell takes the inside handoff. He'll come across the 40-yard line to the 41. He'll pick up, we'll call it, pick up 3 more yards, and it's going to bring up 3rd down and 5 for the Tigers on their own 42-yard line.
The Tigers really faked out D'Angelo Compton on that play. It was an athletic move to turn up the field.
So 3rd down and 5 now from the 42-yard line. Here's Grant LaSalle out of the pistol. Receivers too wide to the short side. Long count. DeSelm hoping to draw offside, cannot. Fakes the handoff. Pass, Austin Turner. Midfield, tucks it under, double coverage. DeSelm hit him with a dart right between the 1 and the 8. And it's a first down for the Tigers. Pass good for 11 yards, and DeSelm is on track.
J.D. Brooks was playing off his man pretty far there, giving him space, and they were able to connect.
So DeSelm completes his first pass. His first pass of the evening, and it's good for 11 yards to Austin Turner. Handoff goes Ricky McDowell, bounces outside left, goes off left tackle. He'll pick up 3 on first down, bring up 2nd down and 7.
The Orange defense seems like they're back on their heels a little bit. Kind of surprised at how efficient Chapel Hill is tonight. They're mixing it up well.
Well, once again, what we talked about before is, you know, yeah, they have problems in the backfield. No doubt about it. It's running back by committee, but that front line hasn't changed.
Right.
Those are some big, experienced kids who play very well together. Here's DeSelm looking at the option, throws a little shuttle pass, left hand, inside. Brandon Wendell takes it over the 40-yard line. He's put down at the 36. It'll be a gain of 10, and a nifty little shakeup there by Isaac Marsh in the offensive strategy there, as Grant DeSelm really sold that option very, very well to Ricky McDowell to the outside, and then goes left-handed inside to Brandon Wendell, who picks up 10 more yards.
He ran over a couple defenders in the process.
So Brandon Wendell has runs of 11 and 10 yards. Handoff goes, first man through. Wendell once again, he's going to pick up 6 and bring up 2nd down and 4. And again, this Chapel Hill Tigers offense, really, when it gets running downhill, when it runs between the tackles, when it gets behind this big line, it really is quite effective, as long as they don't have the turnovers and that make them ineffective or cause them to get out of their game plan. Because Grant DeSelm, when he has short yardage situations, the guy's got an arm, and he's certainly got a brain. He can make it happen. So here's DeSelm out of the pistol. He has Ricky McDowell behind him. Wendell in motion right to left. Behind the block of Wendell, here goes Ricky McDowell. McDowell is going to be over the 30-yard line. He will be down at about the 29. It's going to pick up 2 and bring up 3rd down and 3.
Bryce Wilson came flying around the end there to break up that play. Orange brought a few guys on there. It was a good play.
So gain of 5 by Wendell, and another 2. Brings up 3rd down and 3. Wendell, single setback, takes it, right side, off tackle. He is going to be stopped short of the first down, as it was LeMaster coming up, along with the big man that you'll hear, you will hear his name called a whole bunch of times, and that's Jake Frederick. Frederick, a 305-pound junior defensive lineman on the left side at 6'1". He is the stopper on that line, along with Nick Schultz, the soda machine, and Frederick on the left side. Bring up 4th down and 1, gain of 2. Goes to Wendell. Wendell is rocked and stopped by Nick Schultz.
Wow.
Schultz was in the backfield almost before the handoff.
Yeah, that Orange stepped up big time there, and they're grabbing the ball back. Wow. It's deflating for Chapel Hill.
So they turn it over on downs once again. So there have been 2 possessions for Chapel Hill. There's been 1 for Orange, and the punters have not gotten off the bench. Both these teams saying, look, we know we have to put the ball in the end zone. We know we both were pretty confident in our defensive units. So if the ball's inside the 35, we're not kicking it. We're gonna go for it and see if we can get a break. But they turn it over on downs, and at the 29-yard line, here's Pettiford in motion to take that pitch to the right-hand side. Looks for the edge, has a defensive man at his feet, turns the corner, jumps over him, gets about 10 yards, pushed out of bounds just after he crosses over the 35-yard line. And, in fact, they will mark it just over the 35 to the 36. It'll be a gain of about 7, bring up second down and 3. And now here's where Garrett Clower is incredibly dangerous, because second down and short, he can look out wide to Kai Muller, and he sends Muller on a fly, especially if he gets him in single coverage. And he's got an arm on him, does Clower, as he turns around now, and he wants to talk to Michael Bolton. Bolton is big fullback, single setback back there. He's running out of the double slot. Pettiford to the left, Tay Jones to the right. Number of options, number of weapons. 5 men on the front line. Clower, 7-step drop, throws across the middle, has a man, and it's picked off by Austin Turner. Austin Turner read the eyes of the quarterback, steps in front of Patrick Pettiford at midfield, and will be tackled by Pettiford at the 48-yard line of the Tigers. But Austin Turner with a big, big defensive stop.
Turner read that play the whole way. He was excited to see the ball come in his side of the field, and wow, great grab and big momentum changer. This is a back-and-forth battle right now.
Well, and there's Clower. Clower has thrown 3 balls. None of them have found the right guy. 2 of them have found the turf. And that one finds Austin Turner just after midfield, and the Tigers have put a dent in this orange offense. They just need now to kick it in. Here's DeSell. One set behind him, looking at that option again. Throws the option right hand. This time it will go to Ricky McDowell. And that one a little slow to develop, as it looked like DeSelm was actually a little tentative on that one. It'll be a gain of 1, bring up second down and 9. But, you know, DeSelm's a pretty big guy. You know, at 6'2", 180 or so. And if a play's that slow in developing and the line isn't coming out to get him, he's a guy at that size. You'd like to see him tuck it under and get 3 or 4 yards rather than take that pitch, which could almost be a turnover. Brings up second down and 9 with 2 minutes remaining to play here in the first quarter. Chapel Hill Tigers in their black uniforms with the gold numbers, playing at home, moving from left to right on your radio dial. Orange Panthers in white with those orange numbers. Here's DeSelm, 3 steps out of the shotgun, throws one at the feet of his intended receiver, as it was Aaron Hirsch out there. And Hirsch at 5'11", 155. He's a water bug. Likes to get out there and find the seams. He was open there, and DeSelm just couldn't get it to him. Looks like DeSelm was having a little trouble holding on to the ball tonight, Matt.
It's flying off his fingers a little wet, it seems like. But, you know, he needs to connect on those kind of balls to pull off the upset.
You got triple receivers now to the left side, out of the pistol. Ricky McDowell, the only setback. He'll stay in the block. DeSelm in trouble now, rolling to his right. Throws it down the sideline, and this one will be short to the receiver coming back. It was actually a pretty nice play there to come back and try and make something of that one. That was Harrison Young. And Young, one of the starting receivers as a sophomore, 5'10", 150. They have a small core, and they are really missing Noah Layden and Andrew Gillespie, both injured. Layden at 6'5", 200. And Gillespie at 6'1", both injured and out. And those are targets that DeSelm sorely missing. 140, and we're going to see our first punt. Here's DeSelm on 4th and 9 as the drive stalls. He'll be back at his own 37. Good snap, catches it at the numbers, and he's going to dump one here at the 30-yard line. It's going to take a very friendly bounce, and then it will get knocked down at the 21-yard line. There's a flag on the play, and that was unfortunate because Daniel Govert, the senior defensive back, he got down there, and the ball kind of hit him on the second hop. It stopped at the 21. That thing could have gone down to about the 12.
That would have been a nice runner, but no dice there. He ran right into it. I don't know. I guess he couldn't locate that ball.
So DeSelm, after actually completing... DeSelm really has not had the best of luck thus far throwing the ball. He's actually 0 for 4. Actually, excuse me, 0 for 5 is DeSelm.
Well, Clower's not doing much better tonight either for the Panthers.
No, he's really not. And DeSalmas actually had to run the ball twice for 2 yards. Again, Ricky McDowell, Brandon Wendell, shouldering the running load for the Tigers. They're doing an exceptional job, but both drives have stalled. Here's Clower, handoff, right side, Patrick Pettifer. Pettifer caught behind the line, outstanding surge by that Tigers defense, and 120 and clicking as the clock ticks down in the first quarter here at Chapel Hill High School. Score 0-0, and Pettifer thrown for a 2-yard loss.
That was a textbook tackle there by Nickerson for the Tigers. Beautiful play.
Now, if you've just joined us, score 0-0. These Panthers coming in at 7-0. Tigers hoping to take a big bite out of them here, and they have them right where they want them. Back at the 10-yard line, 2nd and 12. Clower now will have the eye behind him, Pettifer. Start slot left, move slot right. They run that double slot when they only have one setback. He's got a receiver out to his left and one to his right. Pitch goes left side. Tay Jones finds the corner, finds the edge. Coming up and making the play from his linebacker spot, Daniel Govert. And Govert able to stop that one before it really got dangerous. But it is a gain of 8 yards. Going to bring up actually 9 yards and bring up 3rd down and 3. Boy, you see how dangerous Tay Jones is when he finds the corner. There's 20 seconds remaining to play here in the first quarter. We are still knotted at nothing as the Chapel Hill Tigers defense is really trying to rally here. The last drive by the Panthers was stifled by Austin Turner as he stepped in front of Patrick Pettiford and intercepted a pass 30 yards from the line of scrimmage, gave the ball back to the Tigers at midfield, but their drive stalled with a 3-and-out. And the Panthers going to let the quarter expire. And that's a statement right there. As Pat Moser says, you know, I'd really like to talk this over before we run another play. When we come back, it'll be 3rd down and 3 from their own 19-yard line. We're going to take a one-minute break. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week from Chapel Hill High School. Tigers hanging in against the undefeated Panthers. Come on back and see if they can make it stick in the second frame.
Listen up, Carolina fans. Go for the goal line this season into Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Don't fumble with the never-ending home projects. Whether you're an experienced contractor or a novice do-it-yourselfer, get your jobs done right the first time with the guidance of our knowledgeable staff with decades of experience passed down from generation to generation. So come see us in Carver at 309 North Greensboro Street or call us at 919-942-3153. Check us out online at FitchLumber.com. Go Heels!
And he hits Davis 40 yards downfield. Touchdown!
What a huge grab. Let's see that again in slow motion.
Going up, feet are inbounds, and he's pulling out his phone to get a free rate quote from Geico?
So he could save hundreds of dollars on his car insurance.
While he pulls down the ball with the other hand. Phenomenal.
That was one for the highlight reel, folks.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Presented by Mark Vitale, Nationwide Insurance, and in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Alongside my wingman, Matt Oaks, Paul Connell at Chapel Hill High School, where the Tigers are doing their best impression of a world beater here. For the first 12 minutes, they have it all knotted up against the heretofore undefeated Orange Panthers. Garrett Clower, under center. 3rd and 3 at his own 19. Pitch, left side. Patrick Pettifer there. Puts a hand on the ground and swarmed under by a host of Tigers. They've gotten him behind the line of scrimmage and is going to bring up 4th down deep in Panther territory. This is unfamiliar territory for this Panthers offense.
Which Tiger wasn't involved in that tackle? That was just a massive dog pile, or Tiger pile, as we should say. Wow, what a play, and another 3-and-out.
Now, Jeremy Peck came up and actually made that tackle. Jeremy Peck has had a shoulder problem. In fact, he had a separated shoulder, so they aren't going to play him in the backfield. They said, well, we'll just let him play a little defense, but don't hit anybody too hard, Jeremy. It's a loss of 3, going to bring up 4th down and 5, and it's going to be an official's timeout as they look to sort this out. But in case you just joined us, again, 0-0 here at Chapel Hill, and head coach Isaac Marsh rallying his troops from the sideline as they have the Panthers reeling. Loss of three on fourth down as Tay Jones. And here's an unfamiliar situation for this Panther offense. Kicking, Austin Turner, midfield, take the ball to the 45. He is ripped by Bryce Wilson at the 45-yard line. Bounces ahead for two more to the 43, and it'll be first and 10 in Panther territory as Grant DeSelm comes back onto the field for his fourth offensive possession.
Now, as good as Chapel Hill's played, eventually you're going to have to get some points up on the scoreboard. You've got to think that Orange is going to unleash here in a minute, but right now Chapel Hill has to convert on this drive. They need some points.
Well, they absolutely do. If the Panthers are going to hang around, you got to make them pay for it. Here's the sell. Out of the pistol. Handoff goes to Ricky McDowell, and McDowell puts it on the turf. Looks as though he was able to fall on the short hop and get it back, but that's exactly what the Tigers do not need. There is not a more opportunistic team in all of 3A than these Orange Panthers. If you give them the ball on the turnover, they will come and they will shove it right down your throat, especially if it's on the short field. Ask anybody they've played. You wonder why this offense is on the field, you know, 15 minutes a game and scoring 50 points. It's because the defense puts those points on the board, and when they don't put it on the board, they give the offense the ball on the short field. 10:35 remaining to play here and counting. Second quarter, nothing. McDowell in motion. Grant DeSelm going to keep it himself. Naked keeper right up the middle. DeSelm over the 40 to the 35. And that's what the big man can do for you behind center as DeSelm turns a second and 12 now into a third and two with a gain of 10 yards on second down. DeSelm didn't even hesitate.
And I saw some frustration out of this Panthers defense. Some guys talking to each other back there. They're unknown territory.
Well, I'll tell you, this defense is... They were not used to being manhandled at all. And this offensive line of the Tigers is really doing an outstanding job thus far. Here's the sell mill. Handoff to Ricky McDowell. McDowell will be over the 35-yard line. Close to the 30. Regardless, it's a first down. It'll be a gain of five by McDowell. And McDowell and Brandon Wendell's splitting carries now at tailback and fullback as the majority of running backs are on the sidelines. Really, it's a mash unit over there on the sidelines for the Tigers. But a gain of five once again from Ricky McDowell brings up first down now as the Tigers continue to move the chains. Ball at the 30-yard line in motion. Wendell, left to right, single setback. McDowell had taken himself, tuck it up with the left hand. Oh, he's met by Bryce Wilson at the 29-yard line. And Bryce Wilson sticks a head in there and straightens him right up. Says, young man, welcome to my territory.
Yeah, that was a man's tackle there.
They give him 1 yard. That's a friendly one right there. As Brandon Wendell playing fullback. Ricky McDowell returning kicks, playing tailback out of the pistol. Running that option again. Oh, here's that dangerous shuttle pass. And that time Brandon Wendell was able to grab it. It was thrown a little bit behind him. And it's still incredibly effective when it works because you just don't expect it, even if you see it coming. And it will be a 3-yard gain for Brandon Wendell as he catches that pitch with the left hand, left-hand pitch from Grant DeSelm. Actually going to mark him back, say his knee was down after he picked up two. Brings up third down and eight with 8:57. And quite frankly, the clock has stopped, but it should be rolling. Referee sorting this one out. Now they'll throw it back into gear. Ball at the 29-yard line. DeSelm backs up left side. He's one down left side. He's got a man, and it's picked off. Picked off. Ball was intended to Aaron Hirsch. And Hirsch back there, and it's picked off. And nice back there on coverage, single coverage, and doing a great job. That was Brandon Van Hook.
It looked like he passed right to Van Hook.
Yep.
He didn't even have a player there. It was a really poor decision.
Well, it was a poor decision, yeah, but again, DeSelm looking like he's not gripping the ball. I mean, it almost looks like he's throwing a javelin out there.
Pushing it.
Yeah, it's not happening. He threw it out there a little down and out, and his receiver was open shortly, but Brandon Van Hook, he's not going to pass up much of those, and I believe that's Van Hook's fourth interception of the season.
Wow.
So now the Panthers deep in their own territory at the 9. First down and 10. Pitch goes left side to Pettiford. He finds the edge left side around the left end. He's got 5, and he's got more. Searching for the first down marker, he goes over the 15-yard line. He will be marked down just over the 15. And it'll be a gain of, call it 8 yards, and it'll be second down and a long 2.
It just seems like we're in that territory, Paul, where, you know, someone's got to make something happen. We're getting bogged down with mistakes and poor play, and we'll see if anyone can break through.
Well, now here's where the Panthers have excelled. You know, even when they've stalled early, they establish the running game, they get you thinking about it, and then they find somebody one-on-one, throw it up, make a big catch. It's the counter. Handoff goes straight ahead. Tay Jones. Jones up the left side. He's got about 13 yards. 13 yards for Tay Jones, and he's out to the 28-yard line, and that's certainly some breathing room for Garrett Clower and this high-powered Orange offense as they started on their own 9. After the pass from Grant DeSelm was picked off, ending yet another Tigers drive after their defense stood up and held this Orange Panther offense. Run out of the double slot, man in motion, Pettiford. Fake the pitch to him, do a little counter inside to Tay Jones. He's knocked down immediately at the line of scrimmage. They'll give him one, bring up second down and 9 with 7:20 remaining to play here in the second quarter.
Yeah, there was a blockade up there. He was ran into a wall of defenders and nowhere to go, so hit the ground.
Now, Tay Jones only carried the ball 4 times. He's gained 38 yards. Patrick Pettiford carried it a number of times. He's actually carried it 5 times for 32 yards. Double slot, handoff. Outside man, Pettiford coming back in motion, and he is wrapped up in the backfield. Pettiford wrapped up by Logan Tisch. Tisch, outstanding job of anticipating that play. And, you know, when Logan Tisch comes to get you, you're not going anywhere. 6'3", 300 pounds. He wraps you up. That's like getting tagged by a big grizzly bear.
Yeah, you might have nightmares about Tisch coming up behind you to tackle.
Hide under the covers. Third down, 14. Tigers looking for another defensive stand. 6:16 remaining to play here in the second quarter. Clower, straight drop. 5 steps, now 6. Under pressure, throws. Ooh. Screen pass, and it's nearly picked off. Tipped by the up man and nearly picked off. Kobe Fisher ran up to get a hand on that one. Fisher comes up from his linebacker spot. And Fisher, if he'd have caught that one, that's a pick 6, and he's gone, and the Tigers are on the board up ahead. So with 6:07 remaining to play here in the second quarter, it's fourth down and 14, and we're going to see these Panthers in an unfamiliar position once again. Back to punt for the second time in a row.
Paul, we just keep waiting for them to break through, but it just might not happen tonight. They just seem a little off. Clower is definitely flummoxed.
Here's Seth Mathis. You know you got a big team when your punter is 6'4", 220. Last guy I remember that size was Rick Roby. Played for the Dolphins. Every time he came out, they're like, oh, you're a linebacker? No, I'm a punter. He's got a good rip on this one. It'll bounce at the 40 over the 35, and Grant DeSalle will come out and take over with the Tigers on their own 31-yard line. Still, the Tigers have had outstanding field position each time they have started with the ball. They have yet to start any drive inside their own 25-yard line. Even the opening kickoff came out to the 26. They've been able to mount some offensive on the ground. Grant DeSalle has been ineffective in the air. He has not been able to get the crucial third down plays done. Now they've come out, trips to the left-hand side. No receivers to the right. Into the pistol. He's got a set back to his left, throws a knuckleball out to the left side, and it's Austin Turner. Turner catches the ball at the 30-yard line behind the line of scrimmage. He'll bounce out for 4 yards, and it'll bring up now second down and 6. But again, Grant DeSalle, it looks as though he's throwing the ball with a hangnail.
Yeah, it's like he's throwing a hammer out there. Just not a football move, not a football throw. I don't know what's going on tonight. But.
Well, DeSalle now, that, believe it or not, that's the first pass that he's completed. So he is now 1 for 6 for 4 yards. But you got to start somewhere, and he does there. Brings up second down and six. Ricky McDowell, he'll take the ball. Left side, bounces to the right, and takes it over the 35-yard line to the 37. That's a nice gain of three, and it brings up third down and a long three with 4:50 remaining to play here in the first half. We're still not at nothing. Now here's where Pat Moser looks to his defense and says, you know, somebody's got to get this rolling, got to come up with a big play. Need an interception, need a fumble return, we need a big play here, and they have delivered all season. That's why they're 7-0. Here's the Selm, out of the shotgun, backs up two more, throws out into the flat, has Austin Turner. Austin Turner turning into his favorite target. He's Garrett Clover's favorite target. As Turner collects an interception and then is able to grab this one as it goes. This one will be for 12 yards out to the just shy of midfield, and it's a first down for the Tigers.
Good tackle by LeMaster. That play could have gone the distance.
Austin Turner running a sharp route. Six in the box now for Orange as they threaten the blitz, and here it comes, right up the middle and well timed. There's LeMaster. Drew LeMaster comes up with a linebacker blitz, right middle linebacker, no pretense about that when he comes right over center. It'll be a loss of five as he caught Ricky McDowell right at the handoff. McDowell's lucky he didn't put that on the turf. And the Tigers call timeout. And as the Tigers call timeout, we're going to take a timeout with them. You'll listen to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week, presented by Mark Vitale, Nationwide Insurance, and in Hillsboro, AI Nationwide Insurance. Tigers nothing. Panthers nothing. 4:05 remaining in the second. Come on back, see if Grant DeSelm has something up his sleeve on second down at 15.
UNC Family Medicine is proud to announce the grand opening of a new Saturday morning sports injury clinic to treat your acute injuries. UNC Family Medicine will treat everything from casting to ultrasounds to x-rays, as well as provide surgical consults and concussion evaluations. And you can walk in without an appointment from 8 to 10 a.m. The Saturday morning sports clinic at UNC Family Medicine. Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Coming back, you're right on time. Grant DeSelm out of the pistol. Has McDowell, slot right. Brandon Wendell, fullback right behind him. DeSelm, long count, catches his 40, takes two more steps, throws in a flat, has a man. Aaron Hirsch. Aaron Hirsch catches the ball at the 42-yard line. It's a 15-yard completion in the air, and Hirsch adds three more to the 38-yard line of the Panthers. That was the kind of ball we're used to seeing Grant DeSelm throw. That was a bullet.
He whizzed it by the Orange defender there and just hauled it in, and here we go. But can they take advantage this time?
So the pass good for 18 yards, and DeSelm, once again, on his way. Austin Turner, actually, we mentioned that DeSelm was 1 for 6. He's 2 for 6. He had thrown one earlier to Austin Turner that was actually good for 9 yards. Here's DeSelm, long count, backs up to the 45. Under pressure, and he's going to go down. A little long on that one, and was finally brought under by the late blitz. And there to get him with that late blitz, Archrell Stewart. Comes in from his defensive end spot. Archrell Stewart's only 5 foot tall. He's a little over 5 foot tall, but he can roll.
He flew right around the end there.
Actually, they have Archrell Stewart, I'm sorry, 5'11". They have him at 5 foot tall roster. I'm looking out there, and I'm 6'7", and I know that he's at least 5'11". So, not quite as
no midges
unique
out there
as it was, right. So it's going to be second down now and 16. Oh, DeSelm's in trouble now. Rolling to his left, throws in the flat, has Hirsch once again, bobble, left hand, right hand, referee says no, he didn't hang on to it. But I'll tell you what, he threw into traffic once again, and Grant DeSelm starting to feel a little gunslinger here. He rolled to his left, and Bryce Wilson was right there on Aaron Hirsch, and he still threw the dart. Hirsch came back to it, caught it with his right hand, actually popped it up into the air, looking for his left hand, past Bryce Wilson, and then just couldn't hang on to it.
I think he found the stick 'em on the sidelines there, so he's winging them around the field now.
So DeSalle now, despite the gunslingerness, it's third down and 16. Six in the box, threatening blitz. Here comes the blitz from the outside. DeSalle looking himself, goes left side, throws another knuckleball, and this one's complete to Hirsch. That one literally rotated side to side. As it goes over the 35-yard line, Hirsch catches it at the 33 and is immediately knocked down. So it is a gain of 10 on the play. Unfortunately, there's a flag down. So the flag down on the play, and you know when it happens back there, especially when a quarterback's running for his life, typically it's holding. And it is actually going to be a push in the back. And it looks as though it will be a hold. Initial indication was push in the back. They're going to call a hold. And this one will go on Logan Tisch. As Tisch, trying to protect his quarterback, reached out and grabbed a little white laundry. And with 2:19 remaining to play here in the second quarter, it is still nothing-nothing here in the Tiger Den. It's Chapel Hill. Nice crowd, great student body section out here for Chapel Hill as the Tiger students get out here and support their team. And it brings up third down and a ton. Let's call it third down and 25 from back on his own 47-yard line. DeSalle, two steps out of the shotgun. Under pressure, he's going to go down again. Having trouble keeping those guys off the edge. And DeSalle goes down again. It will be another loss of two. It will be fourth and 27, and they're going to have to punt it away.
That penalty was just a killer. I'm sure Coach Marsh is livid on the sidelines, but third and 25s are not a good scenario, especially against a team like Orange.
So there's a timeout on the field, and we're going to take it with them. 1 minute and 40 seconds remaining to play here in the second quarter. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. It is still 0-0 in the midst of a catfight here at Chapel Hill. Come on back. Catch the last 140 with us.
I'm David Fitch of Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Just like on the playing field, teamwork is what you need to tackle any home project. Stop by and team up with Fitch Lumber and Hardware to score big on your upcoming goals. We can help. Get the local home field advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carrboro, or call us at 919-942-3153. As always, thanks for your business.
Chapel Hill High School, the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Fourth in a country mile. Grant DeSalle. Kick this one. A little sideways roll to this. Actually rotating left to right, the ball did. It's DeSalle under pressure. Caught that one on the right point of the ball. Line drives to the 30-yard line. Gets a friendly bounce to the 25. And with 1:32 remaining to play in the second quarter, that is where the Orange Panthers will take over. Looking to unlock this score, which has been 0-0, and neither team is really threatened. Neither team has seriously gotten into the red zone.
Now, this game's been played in between the 30s for sure.
And it's the big defensive line and offensive line of the Chapel Hill Tigers, which has dominated this contest to this point. See if they can continue. Here's Clower. Three-step drop, looks out to Pettifer, throws it behind him to the back shoulder, drops to the turf at the 31-yard line. And again, neither quarterback looking very sharp throwing the ball tonight.
Well, I think also Orange is throwing the ball a lot more than we're used to seeing from them. They must have seen something in film that made them want to focus on that tonight, because it really hasn't been their trademark all year.
Well, and Garrett Clower, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe that Clower has completed a pass yet.
He may have had one.
We'll check our stats, but by mine, if he completed the one, it was short to Pettiford. But I have him as 0-for-5 as he's under pressure now. Tisch almost got him in the backfield. He does now complete the ball at the 35-yard line. Close to the first down, there's Kai Muller. And Muller, again, his favorite target, has, we believe, collected the first reception for Garrett Clower tonight. It'll be an 11-yard catch because prior to this, the only reception, the only completed ball that Clower had thrown was to Austin Turner at midfield.
Yeah, it's a surprise when we see a completion out here.
Yep. So we have him at one of six and an interception. Here's Clower under trouble, in the grasp, and he's going to throw it outside, and it's adding insult to injury. It's going to be intentional grounding. He was in the grasp, and I was quite frankly surprised that the referee didn't blow the whistle because Brandon Nickerson came in from his linebacker spot and had him absolutely wrapped up, and he threw it anyway. They're going to call intentional grounding. Not only is that the 5-yard penalty from the spot, but it's also the loss of down. It's a huge defensive play. A huge defensive play for this Tigers defense. So it'll bring up second down now. Second down in about 23 yards. So second down and 23. Panthers back on their own 25-yard line. Neither one of these offenses able to put together a string of plays. Straight drop, seven steps, Clower throws a screen pass to Pettiford. He's got a little running room, and ooh, that's not good news. Flags down on the play as Pettiford catches the ball at the 30-yard line and rolls ahead to the 36. It's a gain of 11, but once again, there are flags on the play. Flags were thrown in the defensive backfield. And there is some definite hand chucking going on back there, as you know, both these teams realizing that there's speed in the receiver slots, and they've got some feisty defensive backs that don't want to give it up. It's going to be offensive pass interference there. As you wonder how Patrick Pettiford got that wide open, well, it's simple. He ran a little button hook, and just before he hooked, he gave a nice big shove there.
Good call by the officials.
Yep. Outstanding shove. Gave a nice big shove, Pettiford did, to Jeremy Peck. And now 48.6 remaining to play here in the second quarter in this Tiger defense. They would love to give Grant DeSelm just one more shot. And Isaac Marsh, though, not calling a timeout. Clower, trouble, dumped again. Dumped back at the 12-yard line. Now Isaac Marsh better take himself a timeout. Another sack. This front line, this front four. Logan Tisch leading the charge once again. And the clock continues to run. The Tigers, I believe the Tigers have no timeouts left.
They can't have any.
They took all three of their timeouts and have to let it run out. So with the ball on the 12-yard line, Isaac Marsh has to let time expire, but he goes out onto the field and he's rallying the troops.
Unbelievable. There's a full moon tonight, Paul, and you know crazy things can happen with that full moon, and it looks like we're in for a dandy of a second half. Wow.
Well, it's just absolutely unbelievable as to close the half. It was Clower taking a 5-yard sack and then a 12-yard sack. Logan Tisch hammering him on both occasions, and this Orange offense looking anemic, and this Tigers defense continuing to roll. They have found their rhythm. If they can spread some of that to their offensive unit, we could see an interesting second half. We're at the half here at the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Paul Conn along with Matt Oakes. We're going to take a 2-minute break. We're going to be back here to the Tiger Den at Chapel Hill. It is a great night for football. The Tigers are loving it. Trying to put a dent in that 7-0 record. Those Orange Panthers. Come on back. Tell you about the first half. Bring you some statistics. Get ready for half number two.